welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This is a very special bonus episode, another Checking the Inbox episode where we answer questions about pregnancy do-overs, staying awake, and embryos in limbo. Let's get started. Hey, Shauna.
Hi.
So, okay, we are turning this into a little cottage industry, our little advice column podcast.
Oh, I love it. Yes.
Side project.
Ooh, it's so fun. I love answering these questions.
I do too. I hope everyone likes hearing them. I'm guessing because we got so many questions that people do like to hear us answer these questions. So
yeah.
So we should get right to it. Shauna, do you want to hit us with the first question for this bonus ep?
Oh, yeah. How did you teach your babies to drink from a straw cup? Mine is having trouble. Laura.
Yeah.
You have any thoughts on this one?
Yeah. So I did what my mommy and me teacher taught us to do, which was you take a straw, like a regular straw, basically, or if you have a kid-sized straw, I guess it'll work too. But you want like an actual sort of firmer straw because otherwise it won't work. Mm-hmm. And you dip it in water, put your finger over the top so it's holding the water, and then you hold it underneath, you know, you hold it to the baby's lips, basically, and let it slowly, like, let them try to, like, first you let it slowly trickle in so that they know, oh, water in straw, the water is in the straw. And then you'll let them try to actually, like, you hold your finger longer and let them try to suck it out so that they know to use pressure to suck it out. And then, then the next step is just you give them a straw cup and see what happens. So that worked for us. I think that's sort of the method. But so, yeah, if you can go and get a straw and just sort of start introducing the idea that there is water in here, because it could be a thing where it's like they don't know the water's in there. Also, trying a couple different kinds of straw cups, because there's like our first one was a Zoli cup, Z-O-L-I, and it had a really little straw that was good for young kids. So that was a good starter one. And now we use the Munchkin ones that everyone uses. And then, I mean, maybe not everyone, but I feel like I see them on the playground all the time. And then we also have like a, we actually have a Hydro Flask one that we got from my sister-in-law, which he likes too, but it has like a, it has kind of a hard spout, but you have to suck it up like a straw. So,
yeah.
But yeah, you can try. I mean, there's so many different ones out there, and I'm sure there's some that are purported to be more useful for kids who are having trouble with it. So I would go there.
Yeah, some of the straw cups are difficult to sip through because they're made to be spill-proof, I think is what I've noticed. And so, yeah, the simpler you can get with teaching and having no resistance to that sip and flow, I think will be easier for the little kids. Little babies, I guess I would
little
say.
Little babies, yeah.
Yeah. So with the technique you're speaking of, like where you put your finger on it and dip, like this is reminding me of, tell me if I'm thinking of the right move, like when a bartender makes a margarita and they like need to test and see if there's enough alcohol in it or something, they like dip a random straw in, pick up a little bit, and then like put it in their mouth. Is that the kind of technique you're talking about?
That is exactly the technique I'm talking about. Yes.
Perfect. Got it.
The dip and taste.
The dip and taste. Okay, cool. Okay, what's the next question?
All right, this one's for you, Shauna.
Ooh.
They ask, what did Shauna do with her frozen embryos?
Nothing yet. Oh, you know, it's like, it was already kind of a hard decision. I wasn't sure what to do. And then just life got hard in 2020 for various reasons. And that's
what?
Like the last...
It did?
I know, it did. I'm shocker, right? So it's the last thing that's been on my mind. Last year, I think I just like automatically got billed for another year of storage because I had a credit at the fertility clinic and I, you know, didn't do anything about it last year. And so my deadline is actually coming up. It's like in 10 days or something.
Oh, dang.
So I know. I need to make Steve and I, he's part of this, need to make a decision about what to do. Get pregnant with all of them and have more babies.
So wait, how many are left?
Six.
Oh my God, you could have sextuplets.
I know, right? Oh, and five of them are boys. I know that.
And then you could have a reality show.
Oh, I could. Well, that's what I always, that's what I've always wanted in life. So this is this is perfect. Oh, I don't know. I joke about it because I'm just so unsure and it's just such an odd topic. I don't know. But when I do decide, I'm sure I'll let everybody know.
Yeah, well, we definitely want to know if you're willing to share that with us.
Yeah.
But I think I'd be like you. I'd probably just keep paying it out of convenience and being able to kick the can down the road, basically.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we've been up to. 10 more days to decide if we want to keep doing that, though.
Okay, Shauna, I'm loving answering these questions, but we need to take a quick break and then come back with the rest of them.
Okay. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. Okay, we are back and we've got more questions from our listeners. Let's get to it. Shauna, what's the next one?
All right. Next question is, what are your daily routines at this time from wake up to sleep? Love the show. Thank you. Laura, what's a brief overview of what you guys have on your routine these days?
Okay, let's just pick a typical weekday that's like a me day because Corey and I kind of alternate days.
Oh, right.
So let's say it's a Wednesday. Toddler will wake up about 6:30 to 7. Lately, he's been sleeping in till like 7, which is really awesome.
Oh, although, my God. Okay, rub it in. Mm-hmm,
I know. It doesn't make much difference for me because Corey takes every morning. So
that's right.
You know, but it does a little bit because I always keep the monitor on my side of the bed until the morning because I'm kind of on nighttime duty and it's kind of an easy duty because he usually doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. Although he wakes up like almost inevitably every night, I'll hear a cry at like 3 a.m. and it's like in his sleep or something. He doesn't, his head's not up, nothing's happened. So, anyway, so Corey goes out, takes him out of the crib, makes him breakfast. I look at my phone for about a half hour, get ready for the morning, and then I come out and join them at about 8:15. Mm-hmm. And still we're nursing in the morning. So I'll have, he's like, It's so funny because sometimes when he wakes up, Corey will go in and I can hear he's going like, mama, 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 right? And like sometimes when I'm still getting ready in the morning, I hear him like get upset about something and be like, mama, mama. Then when I come out, Corey will be like, look who's here. And he'll look up at me and go, booba time? No, mama, nothing. Booba time?
Oh, he's objectifying. So we do booba time.
Yeah. We do booba time for, you know, 10, 15 minutes. Then we try to get out of the house. So I stuff my face with some food, usually like a bagel or something. And then we either try to go on a walk or just hang out in the backyard if weather allows. And that will take us to about 10:30 when we come back in. And I will start making his lunch. The goal is to have lunch for him ready at 11:15. Mm-hmm. And lunch takes about 15 minutes to a half hour, depending on how attentive he is and how many extra raspberries he wants at the end. And then we start getting ready for nap time about 11:45. Usually he's down for his nap. So we do change him into a onesie and a sleep sack, and we sing songs and we read books and sometimes booboo time, sometimes not. Brush his teeth and then put him down. So it's like usually by 12:15, he's asleep.
Mm-hmm. I'm impressed that you brush his teeth before nap.
We just started doing that. I'd say like 4 out of 7 days we actually remember to do that. Because you're supposed to do it 2 times a day. We don't do it in the morning. So we're trying to do it after his lunch to sneak it in. Mm-hmm. But it's usually the one we're not like too concerned about either. Like if he grabs it and does 2-3 swipes, we're like, good enough. And then he'll usually sleep 1 hour 40 to 2 to 2.5 hours. It really depends. But I feel like his deal is 1 hour 40 to 2 hours. So then he's up around two. Mm-hmm. And so then 2 to 5 is like free play time. So he either plays or we go out. If it's cool enough, we go outside for another walk or go to a park or something. And then I'm usually cooking dinner. Corey will reemerge and come back in like around 4:45 or 5 so I can try to figure some dinner out. And then we eat dinner around 5:30, all of us, which I've completely gotten used to.
Yeah.
If it's like 6:30 and I haven't eaten, my stomach is growling. Dinner takes forever for some reason these days. So then we're done by like 6, 6:15. Then he has a bath. And then he's usually in bed by, you know, we do bath and we do more books, stories, sleep sack, all that stuff, brush your teeth. And then sometimes boo-boo time, sometimes not. And then he's in bed. Usually he's in bed right around 7. So he's kind of a 7 to 7 guy these days.
Oh,
with
that's great.
Variation. Yeah, it's fantastic. And then Corey and I go and watch Netflix.
Yes.
And I knit.
That's
I'm trying to knit.
Best part of the day. Oh,
yes.
Good.
Instead of, because I was looking at my phone, I was like, why am I looking at my phone and watching TV? This is stupid. Like, I should be doing something that makes me feel calmer. So right now I'm knitting a toy for a friend who just had a baby. So.
Aw, cool.
Yeah. All right, that was long, but they asked for details, so I want to hear yours. So what about you, Shauna? What's your schedule like?
Well, it's pretty similar. The only things I'm kind of rigid about are the times of meals. Lunch is also at 11. Dinner, usually I start making at 5. Nap is around noon, but everything in between is pretty flexible because Steve and I both work full-time jobs at home. Who knows when we're going to have a meeting? I have to attend to something. I get a copy request to write something. So I have to be really flexible. But in general, the morning time is when we do preschool in our little new little preschool area. And afternoon
adorable. If people haven't seen, go to our Instagram or Facebook and check out the adorable preschool Shauna put together.
Thank you.
It's so cute.
It's so cute. I
want to go
in there.
I want to go to that preschool.
Yeah, sign up, Laura. Oh my goodness. And then our afternoons, generally it's outside time, so playing in the backyard, swimming, what have you. So yeah, it's pretty much about rigid meal times with flexibility in between.
I like that. Okay, so you know what, that actually kind of leads into this next question, which I think is mostly for you. Which
oh, okay.
Is, how do you manage to get so much work done with toddlers in the house?
Oh.
So, Shauna, as people know, you and Steve both are working full-time from home in addition to making and producing the podcast, in addition to having two young children. How do you do it?
Oh, let's see. What are the real secrets? Besides just riding the wave of bursts of energy when I have them, which is always amazing. I do love that. My mother-in-law does live with us part of the year, and so when she's around, that's extremely helpful, especially during pandemic, right, when my kids can't go to other childcare. So she's really, really, really great with them, and she'll watch them for bits of time while we can get stuff done. So that's great. The other way we get stuff done is during what we call rest time in the middle of the day. I guess I should have included that in my routine. But when Cece goes down for a nap, that's Elle's TV time. And I've mentioned before that she is extremely into TV. It's like her babysitter. So I can come and record the podcast. Steve can work. We get a lot done during that downtime. So we squeeze so much in to like the 2 hours in the middle of the day. And yeah, tag team responsibilities. If I have a meeting, Steve watches the girls, and multitasking. I'll do stuff all the time while the girls are there playing independently or bugging the crap out of me to pay attention to them. It's just like, okay, yeah. Okay, here's a snack. I'm going to keep doing the dishes, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, that's my life. I don't know if that's going to help anybody, but it's the truth.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I don't have a full-time job right now, so that helps a lot. But, you know, I do edit the podcast, which takes a long time. I have to admit, and record the podcast and help, you know, I do the website and all that stuff. And I do have occasional assignments for work. I'm not as much, especially with the pandemic, because there's just no time. But for me, it's kind of the same in that I just like, I weaponize nap time. Basically, nap time is, it's nap time and after bedtime, but after bedtime is so hard. It's so tiring.
I refuse. This pandemic, I'm just like, no. After bedtime, I've parented and worked for like 14 straight hours. I'm dead. I'm exhausted.
Good
All
for
I
want
to do is eat and watch TV because I don't eat with the kids. We eat later. So,
yeah. See, and that's the other thing I should say. Since we eat dinner with the toddler, that does free up a lot more time. Like, it takes time out of the day, obviously, and my toddler gets a little annoyed sometimes when I have to cook dinner and he wants attention. But then once he's in bed, like, it's us time, you know, whether I want to work or work on the house or just chill and watch my Netflix. So, but yeah, I mean, I definitely think, it can look to the outside world, to a lot of people, I think, not just us or like us talking on the podcast, but you hear about other parents getting so much work done while they're also parenting full time. And it looks like, well, they're doing it just fine, right? Like, how come I can't get it done? And I think the truth is, we're not getting it done as much as you think we are. There's a lot of things slipping through the cracks, and it's not as easy as everyone. Like, it's, no one has it easy, and no one's getting everything they want done, Like, it's just not happening. So cut yourself some slack if you think that other people just have it figured out. They don't. That's like, true. I really don't think anyone has it totally figured out right now.
Oh, yeah. I don't have it figured out. It's like when I'm spending time with work, I feel guilty that I'm not spending enough time with the kids. When I'm with the kids, I feel like I'm letting everything else down. So even if, like, I have a special day where everything is in line, like, something inside of me is like, oh, but still, I could be doing it better. I could be doing it differently.
Oh, so, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, okay, what's the next question?
Okay, I love this question. It's so good. If you could go back and do your pregnancy over, is there anything you would do different? Well, you're pregnant now. Are you doing anything different?
I know. I'm getting my do-over right now. Okay. Here's the first thing that comes to mind, and then I'll tell you why it's making me laugh, which I think I would take more bump pictures. However, am I doing that? No. Am I actually remembering to do that? So maybe talking about it on the podcast will remind me. Because I feel like the first pregnancy, I felt kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for? I felt kind of like frivolous almost taking all, like, you know, self-involved, like taking bump pictures all the time. Like, I didn't want to be all weird about it. And in the first pregnancy, I felt, you kind of feel like it's going to last forever. So you'll be like, oh, I can take the bump picture tomorrow or whatever. Next thing you know, you have a baby and you didn't take any bump pictures.
Yeah.
So this time I have taken a few. I actually have a like folder in my iPhone. So when I do take a bump picture, I put it in the folder so they can all be together.
Oh, that's
a good
idea.
Yeah, I haven't like taken one every week or anything, but you know, I can see a progression. It's more interesting now that it's getting bigger too. Like at the beginning, you're like, whatever.
I was going to say my favorite bump pictures from both of my pregnancies are when I was like 9 months ready to pop. It's so crazy to look at that and be like, oh my God, my stomach was so big. So that's real. It's more fun than, you know, when you're like 13 weeks pregnant. You're like, I look like I ate too many donuts.
Yeah. I look like I'm just slightly bloated. Yeah.
Well, I want to see more of your bump pics. That's for sure.
Yeah, you've said that. We're going to put some on the Instagram. Don't worry.
Okay, good.
So, and I'll take more, but not every week. I just can't get around to that. I also don't have a good mirror for it, you know? And I never, you know, we have a toddler, so I can't ask Corey because it's like too much. It's like, well, I can either chase the toddler or take a picture of you. Just make sure he doesn't kill himself.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I do actually have a bit of a tangent answer, which I think might be surprising to people, which is what I wish I had done before I got pregnant. And I think you're going to, I think you might find this surprising, Shauna, because this is, I feel like this is very not my personality. I wish I had taken a couple like nude photos of myself.
Oh, like boudoir photos?
Not necessarily. Just like, this is what my body looked before I had kids, because there's all this talk, you know, but some people, their bodies look very similar after they have kids. And it's not about like me wanting to get that body back, but I realized like I don't have, because I was always super paranoid about like anything like that getting out. I never wanted to take nude selfies or any, I just didn't participate in that. And so now there's no, I have no documentation of my boobs before they got this way. You know, now they're
they
just
got this way.
Well, they're just, they're just larger and like not as perky. So I don't know. I kind of wish I had had some pictures of myself of just to see how I looked before it happened, because it's, you know, it's definitely not coming back. It's different, and it's not different. Necessarily better or worse. It's just different.
Well, hire a sketch artist from the local police department. Describe them from memory, and there you go.
They were like up here.
Nope. Nipples a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Smaller, not as dark. Okay, yeah, let's, oh my God. So that's my surprising answer for that.
That is. I like that.
Shauna, do you have something you wish you could have done differently if you had a do-over?
Yes. For both pregnancies, but especially the second with Cece, I wish I could go back and tell myself, your pregnancy is going to be fine and easy and nothing's going to happen to you or your baby. And you don't have to be so anxious every day that something's going to go wrong. I was so anxious. And it's because I had two missed miscarriages, unexpected miscarriages, right? Where I didn't know anything was wrong. And that really, really just scared the shit out of me. So every appointment I went to, I was filled with nerves. Every ultrasound, I was like squeezing Steve's hand, like, okay, waiting for the bad news. And like in hindsight, my pregnancies were, I'm very fortunate, right? My pregnancies were great overall. Mm-hmm. Like I had morning sickness and that kind of sucked, but like how you're talking to how you have SPD pain and all this stuff, like I was so lucky I didn't have any of that. I could have enjoyed my pregnancy, mm-hmm. I think, more if my emotions weren't all in a tizzy the whole time.
Of course you have PTSD left over from those miscarriages, you know, mm-hmm. like that makes total sense. And I'm sorry you were suffering in that way mm-hmm. through your pregnancies. Do you think if you were to thaw out one of those embryos and throw it up there in that old uterus of yours?
That old geriatric uterus of mine.
I mean, I didn't mean it in that way necessarily, but yeah, sure. Do you think you'd still have those anxieties, or do you think this time you'd be able to chill out?
I would still have them. I think I've just been colored for life. That's a hard thing to go through. So unfortunately, I would just be worried, you know? So
yeah.
But it's okay. It's just a feeling. It's not a premonition. It's not like a... If you're having these kinds of feelings, you know what I have to tell myself? It's not like I was psychic that meant something was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I was doing too much, was holding on to the nerves and the fear. And like, well, it's proof that something bad's going to happen. So I've got to, you know, gear myself up. And that's not true.
I remember us talking about that, actually. You were really worried about like jinxing it or even starting the podcast. I remember you were concerned, like, and I get that. I have that in the back of my mind too. You know, whenever you start talking about something, you worry about it getting jinxed or whatever. And I remember talking about that with you. Yeah.
Yep.
But it all worked out in the end.
I know. It did. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Okay. These questions are so awesome. I can't wait to answer more. But let's take a quick break and then come back.
Alrighty. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, we're back and we have more questions to answer.
Woohoo! We have two more. Here is our penultimate question. I'm pregnant and wondering what to do about having a baby shower during COVID. Ooh, that's...
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer of a situation. Laura, what do you think about that, you being pregnant yourself?
Yeah, well, you offered to throw me a virtual sprinkle, which was very sweet of you.
Yes, thank you for reminding me.
I mean, we have time. We have time. And also sprinkle, like a light sprinkle. Maybe it's just a mist.
Yeah, we'll do a baby mist.
Yeah. A baby mist. A baby fog.
That'd be appropriate this year.
If it had been my first baby, I think I mentioned this on the podcast, it would have been much harder, right? Because for a couple of reasons. One is you want to have the big celebration. Second is you like really do need a lot of that stuff. I think, you know, some people don't have baby registries and more power to them. But I mean, I really needed a lot of that stuff. I guess we could have bought it for ourselves, you know, but that's part of the ritual and people want to be generous and people want to get you stuff. It's like a wedding. People want to get you stuff. So a lot of that stuff is incredibly useful. I'm still using stuff from the baby registry every day, you know? So I would say that definitely have a registry. People are still going to want to be generous, maybe more so because they know that you're missing out on all the normal stuff that, you know, we had in the before times. Someone told me in BC before COVID.
Oh, yeah.
2019 BC. But then you can do, you know, depending on where your family is, you can have a Zoom. Also, the cool thing is that if you do a Zoom baby shower or whatever, you can invite people who you would never have been able to see otherwise at your actual shower. And you can keep it short. I feel like, I don't know, my baby shower was absolutely lovely, but I do remember at the end of it being like, I am so tired. I need you people to leave the house. You know, like I need to lie down because you're super pregnant and you're just like, I have been socializing forever. So the nice thing about virtual is that you can kind of cut it off when you need to, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a great option. Another option, if you want to do something where you see people's faces and you can get dressed up and you could do one of these parade drive-by celebrations that people have been doing where, you know, I'm assuming social distance is factoring into this, right? You don't want to have a gathering of people in person, which is why you're asking mm-hmm. about it. So maybe something where everyone drives by. I've heard so much of this in my neighborhood, honking. You can decorate your yard. People can like get out and set a present down in a gift area that's far from you, but you can like blow kisses, and that might feel more fun and celebratory. Mm-hmm. So I might do something like that for the people who are in town.
Yeah, I think that could be really fun. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's going to be memorable. Like, I feel like I've been to a lot of friends' baby showers, and they kind of blur together eventually, you know, because they got the same things mm-hmm. happening at a lot of them. But you're going to remember the COVID baby shower.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe try to embrace that.
Yeah.
But definitely load up that registry. Also, because you don't have to invite, quote unquote, everyone who's just local or close friends, you can like invite, quote unquote, everyone and just get lots of gifts.
And if you're looking for suggestions of what to put on your registry, Laura and I created a baby registry that's on our website. So check it out.
Yeah. BigFatPositivePodcast.com/registry. And yeah. You can see all of our recommendations. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. Laura, we have our last question.
Okay. We have a doozy for our last question. Think back. You gotta roll back the time machine.
Okay.
And
to
the
BC.
Question is,
to the
definitely
BC
era.
BC.
Also okay. BT before toddler.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay.
The question is, how do you stay awake when feeding at 3 a.m.?
Oh my God. Oh, that's such a good question. My God, that was hard.
Yeah.
Well, my phone definitely was a big helper, mm-hmm. right? Like dragging myself awake to feed the baby and then just like putting on that phone, having that bright light in my eyes, doing something, anything, Facebook. Mm-hmm. I think I was addicted to some word game on there at that point or something like that. Also, I think I would watch TV in the middle of the night. I would sit up in my bed, I'd put a TV in the room and put on Great British Baking Show or something, just any stimulation to help mm-hmm. stay awake. And even still, I remember nodding off and being like, my God, this is so hard. So,
because you're already so fucking tired.
So tired.
It's not just that it's 3 a.m. It's that you've been up every like 2 to 3 hours for a couple weeks. Yeah.
It's tough. If I had an even harder time staying awake, I imagine I would like maybe get creative and maybe cruel to myself, like have a spray bottle of ice water next to me or something and spray my face or I don't know. Because I did not want to fall asleep in bed while the baby was nursing in the middle of the night.
Yeah, because it can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have any tips or tricks for that one?
I mean, my phone, you know, was also very crucial. I think, like you said, doing something that engages your mind as opposed to just being passive, mm-hmm. I think is important, like doing a word game or a puzzle game. So you actually have to be paying attention.
Yeah.
Because, like, for me, if I was just trying to read or watch TV, I think that would make me nod off.
Yeah,
you know?
Reading mm-hmm. puts me to sleep.
Mm-hmm. So if you can find a game to play on your phone that, like, requires some kind of analysis or critical thinking, I think that would help because mm-hmm. you actually have to be active in it.
I love that idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because you also, it's this fine line because you don't want to wake yourself up too much so you can't go back to sleep.
Yeah. And you want the room to stay dim.
But you need to stay awake for the feeding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would also say if it's getting to you too much and you have a partner and you're pumping, maybe like occasionally just let the partner do it with a bottle so you can keep sleeping.
Oh, yeah. After a while, that's what we did.
Like, don't necessarily take every single one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Steve would take like the 1 a.m. feeding or whatever. That was so mm-hmm. helpful. Great.
Or just make them. Like, I know it's not great, but if you are really concerned about staying up, like, nudge your partner if you have one and be like, I need you to talk to me right mm-hmm. now.
Yeah,
you
know? That's a good idea.
It reminds me of when you're on a long car ride, you mm-hmm. know, and I've driven across the country a few times. And I remember there are times where I'm like, you know, I'd be listening to my audiobook and I was like, this is not working. And I'd be like, okay, we need to have a conversation. Like, I need to talk to you. And for me, you probably can tell, like, because I have a podcast with you, you know, I like talking. So if I was talking actively, it kept me awake.
Yeah, that would be good. You could talk to your baby.
That's true. You could talk to your baby or just, you know, if you're as sleep deprived as most parents are in the newborn phase, you can be like, hey, partner, I'm going to talk to you. You can listen or not. Like, just grunt every once in a while. You know what I mean? Like, they probably could sleep through it. But, like, just tell them about your day or something.
Yeah.
Tell them about your day. So at 9 a.m. I fed. And then at 11 a.m. I fed.
3 ounces from the right boob. 2 ounces from the left. Like, snoring straight through that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but good luck with that. It doesn't last forever.
Indeed.
And then the final answer is, you know, night weaning and sleep training eventually if you're down for it.
Yes. All right, Laura, I think that's it. I think we did it. We answered all the check in the inbox questions. Our inbox is at zero.
That will last 5 whole seconds.
Exactly.
Oh, that was so much fun.
It was so much fun. Listeners, don't let our inbox stay at zero for too long. Please reach out. We want to know what you think about our Check in the Inbox answers, if you have any thoughts or feedback on that, or if you have any more questions for our next Check in the Inbox segment. Laura, remind everyone where they can reach us.
We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. You could also send us a voice memo or just a plain old email to contact at BigFatPositivePodcast.com. Finally, you can join our Big Fat Positive Facebook community group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community. It's a private group, so you have to request to join. If you answer the 2 membership questions, we will send you right through and you can join in on all of the fantastic conversations we're having or ask us some more check in the inbox questions.
If you love our show, please give us a rating or review wherever you listen to podcasts and spread the word. Let your friends know about Big Fat Positive. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Thanks for listening. See you later.